Welcome to another edition of the Mindset Entrepreneur video podcast. I'm your host, Mark Altman, founder of Mindset Go. And I'm here with a special guest today, Brendan King, president of King and Bishop. And thank you so much for joining us today, Brendan.
Mark, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So, Brendan, you know, before we get down to talking about the great things your company does, I know you produce documentaries, and I know we're both big sports fans. So if you could talk to our audience a little bit about that.
I guess, yeah, that's that. What's one thing you probably didn't want to know, but you're about to find out, your industry? I worked with a guy who was a videographer, and he's also a sports fan, and we produced in the past 5 years two movies. One was about a long closed racetrack in Norwood, Massachusetts called Norwood Arena. So it's called the Norwood Arena, the movie. And the second one chronicled high school hockey between about 1965 to 1975, mainly because there was just nine hockey teams that made it to the finals every year. So we had a fun time with both of those projects. And obviously, I'm not the film guy, more the business guy on those, but learned a lot about your industry.
Well, and Brendan, you know, it leads me to think when I hear you talk about that, I think for entrepreneurs, it's very hard to balance personal passion with the business you've started and run and so on and so forth. So how do you find that balance and find the time to pursue passions like that while running your two companies?
Yeah, it was hard. And I've got, you know, my two girls, they're both in high school right now, but at the time they're a little bit younger. But you know, you take up your spare time and do the best you can with it. But you remember your primary objective is your core business. You know, that's what you have to focus on every day. Focus on the people that work there because they're ultimately they're our product. It's one of those things. It took a long time to make. I mean, as you know, it looks easy, but 2 years, you know, probably for each one. We're talking nights and weekends and, you know, just doing the craziest things to make it happen.
So, Brendan, you're really a unique entrepreneur in the sense that you're touching upon all bases to me. You know, you purchased a company in 2004 with your partner, and that's been a very successful company in Boston. And I know you're doing HR and HR services in North America and the United Kingdom, so you have a really broad reach. You then started another company in 2008, Finish Line Staffing.
Yep, that's right, Finish Line.
And that's more New England focused and focused on manufacturing. So you've got two companies, you purchased one, you started another one. So kind of where did all this passion to be an entrepreneur come from? Is it something from childhood or where did that even all emanate from?
Absolutely. We had the biggest Boston Globe paper route in Norwood, Massachusetts when I was a kid. My dad was very, very hard on us about customer service, about delivery on time, you know, about collecting and all that. And he actually built houses. He built the subdivision. So I learned a lot from him about business and, you know, how to make things work. His very best friend owned a car dealership in Boston. So we worked there and I learned a lot about, again, it was always about customer service, taking care of the customer, but more importantly, you control your own destiny. And so what you need to do to get there and inspire others to want to do the same is probably what I got the most out of that and probably why I ended up where I am.
Well, that's a great background. And I guess one question is, why HR? Like, how did that all come about? Because it's a very competitive industry, recruiting, staffing services, things like that. So how did your interest kind of evolve into that?
Well, I did some of this in the early part of my career for a technology company back in the 80s. And, you know, I liked, basically, we were recruiting people from the military who had done like ROTC. And now after the 4 years were up, they were kind of interested in finding out what was available. So, you know, back then, there's no technology, there's no internet, there's no fax machines. It's all by phone, it's all by meeting. And that skill is something that you can use further down the line today. Now, what you referenced today, yeah, it's very competitive because there are companies out there that believe there should be no human interaction at all, that computers should hire people. And that's Hal from Space Odyssey, right? We're not working for Hal. We're working for our customer. And so we have really incorporated the personal relationship with the candidates and the customers that I grew up, you know, doing. You know, so I like to say I'm that guy that's right at the tail end of the greatest generation and at the front end of the generation. I didn't have a computer in college, right? 2 years after me, everyone had computers in college. So we tend to be divisionally more about the relationship because that's just what we grew up with.
So I think that's interesting, Brendan. And I think a lot of companies, whether it's in your space or a lot of spaces, really throw out that relationship building term. So what is it that differentiates your approach to relationship building? And I know You just touched upon it a little bit with the, you know, face-to-face interactions and really building that. But what is it that you figured out that other companies are still kind of left behind and not really adapting to yet?
Yeah. So I don't like to think of them as really clients. They're friends. They're people we've been working with for years, and they've been in a job, and they've had a time in their life when that job went away. And we also provide outplacement. So in career coaching, that's a service that we have in King & Bishop. So sometimes they may be coming out of an opportunity and they're asking us for help. Sometimes, you know, when they land on their feet, they have challenges at their work. And there's different models of service that we have. We don't just do placements. We also have HR consulting. We have coaching. When I say consulting, I mean, today compliance is a huge part of human resources. The laws are changing all the time in Massachusetts and at the federal level. So it's return every phone call every day, listen to what they're talking about. But then we also like to play, you know. So if we want to get them out to like a Bosox luncheon or to golf or to, I'm on the executive board of directors with the New England Business Association. They have some fabulous events. You know, you want to treat them the way you would want to be treated. And that, you know, to me, goes the extra mile. So I communicate to my team every day that they need to be on the phone, not typing away. Email's great, but you got to get on the phone. You've got to meet with people. If you get in front of them, there's an old saying, they want to do business with you. All right, so that's a core feature attribute of how we run our business.
Well, and it seems so simple, Brendan, but one of the things I admire about you is, you know, you walk the talk. And, you know, if you look on your LinkedIn and see the testimonials and people that really vouch for the kinds of things, the really critical business things that you're talking about. So switching gears, Brendan, talk to me a little bit about if you're a company and you're considering doing business with a firm like yours, what are the misconceptions that a company maybe, they don't make that call because they're like, well, I don't know, it's going to be another one of these. So what are some misconceptions individuals, companies have that you could dispel to our audience
Sure.
today?
Yeah, I mean, companies, if they don't know us very well, they're probably going to say, oh, this is, quote, just another agency. We're not a big contingency firm. You know, contingency being, I'm going to work on an opening and not get paid until you get a hire. We do a lot of modified search, retained search, and we do a lot of contract to direct, all right? And so when companies are new to us, I think they just automatically presume that this is just another agency. And then candidates sometimes will think, you know, the odds are they're not going to place me. And the first time we meet them, that may be so. I mean, I may meet them on Monday and have a job for them on Friday, but sometimes it may take 6 or 7 months. But we stay in touch with them. We try to follow up with them, find out what's happening with them. They begin to feel like, hey, they're paying attention to me. So if they land and they feel good, then they're going to remember us. So they can become like a good advocate or sponsor for us. But when they do make contact with us, after that initial sale, if you will, or buy or engagement, we stay with the customer and try to identify to them other things that we can do and other things that may fit what they're trying to do in their role in their organization. And there's some things they may say, hey, I'm glad you do that, but I'm all set with that. So it's not just, you know, one hit, you know, one and done. We try to, you know, analyze what else is happening and try to help them get there. You know, being in HR is very difficult today in corporate America or any role. It's very, very challenging. There's a lot of things happening out there compliance-wise and what's happening, I think, society-wise that makes that job like they're constantly on their toes. So they're very, very open to help if they can get it the right way.
And are those the areas when clients come to you and look to you to be a problem solver for them, are the areas you just discussed the primary concerns you hear, or are there other areas that you're hearing on a consistent basis that you're helping people with?
Well, right now, everyone's looking for help. It's, you know, I have a degree in economics, and I did this analytical work for Fox 25 for a while. I would sit here and tell you that it would be amazing if this is an amazing number, right? New Hampshire is the lowest unemployment in the state, in the country right now, 2%.
Wow.
And fascinating to me, my parents live in the White Mountains, and the White Mountains area relies on seniors for their labor right now because young people will not stay. They want to get out. They want to get downstate. They want to get on with the life. So when you look at what's happening that's just a microcosm of you know, the rest of the economy, but everyone needs help right now, qualified help, and there's not a lot of it. So the pain point in companies right now is we're trying to grow, you know, to get to that next level, but we can't because we don't have the right quantity or the right quality. So we need to upgrade and we need to make some additional hires. Everywhere, I mean, I just came back from the mountains, so I have a bias. I was up there, but everyone has helped wanted signs out there. And it's down here, the difference is it's all online, all right? So it's you'll go to a company's LinkedIn page and they're going to have a ton of openings. You go to their career page, they're going to have a ton of openings. And just because they have openings doesn't mean they can hire anybody. They're trying to hire the right people.
Mm, well said. And then, of course, in 2008, you started Finish Line Staffing. So what was the impetus to start another company at that point?
Sure. Well, King & Bishop was primarily HR, and then we moved that over to, we also do finance and accounting, that's professional services. But through my association with the New England Business Association, formerly SBAIN, Smaller Business Association New England, the core membership companies tend to be small advanced manufacturing companies in New England. They're the unsung hero. They're the backbone of the U.S. economy. So everyone thinks, you know, everyone's talking about Google and Amazon and all these bigs, but, you know, you talk about these smaller companies. We've got smaller companies all over central Massachusetts, for example, that they weren't getting the attention. They didn't know who to go to. They may not even have an HR function. And so with Finish Line, the difference is that it's a different skill set. So the recruiters that we bring in have deeper experience working for these small specialty manufacturers. Their own personal networks brings them closer to that. So we established Finish Line and we picked up some small manufacturers right off the bat, and now we're using it up and down the line for what I like to say, if the talent is involved in engineering, design, or the old saying, if it walks on carpet, then it's probably King & Bishop. If it's linoleum or concrete, it's probably Finish Line.
I love that. That's fantastic. So you've got the best of both worlds. You know, you've got a flexibility and adaptability to really serve very distinct audiences, which is outstanding. Brennan, I know you also do some work with the Asia America Chamber of Commerce. And could you tell us just kind of what prompted that and what you're specifically doing in that organization?
Sure. Well, I'm a parent of two girls that we adopted from China. And when they came back, I wanted to invest in their background so that when they got to a certain age, they would feel like we didn't just go to China and bring them back. And I got involved with an association called NAP, National Association of Asian American Professionals. And I helped them create phenomenal networking events that we modeled after how we do our business at King & Bishop, because the Asian network, they would network with themselves, but they would not connect out well to universities or other networking groups. So they would live in this ecosystem amongst themselves and not reach out. So that they enjoyed very much. And so someone, I think someone was on their board and asked me to come talk to AACC. And I joined that, and that is a group of business leaders that are connecting businesses in Asia with businesses in the United States. And but the real spoiler, you know, the spoiler alert here is, here are my kids now, 14 and 16, and they don't really care. they're just like happy, you know, they're American girls. They're very, very happy. They know I've done all this work. And, you know, I think that they feel like, you know, I mean, as a dad, you want them to, you know, to be comfortable in who they are. And they know I did all this extra yeoman's work, and they're never going to say thanks, but I know that they appreciate it. So
I don't know your girls, yeah. And I don't even know you well enough, but I would bet $1 million you're right on that.
Yeah.
I bet deep down, even though they're not articulating it,
yeah.
Because a lot of people adopt, and I think that's pretty special that you actually made that a priority for your girls. That's pretty neat.
Yep.
Our last question, Brennan, is as an entrepreneur, documentary films, two businesses. Talk a little bit about if you're a college student or if you're a young professional right now and you're considering going down that road, any words of wisdom you can offer?
Yeah. I mean, it's not 9 to 5, 40 hours a week. It's something you have to think about day and night, day and night. And I would say that the 40 hours in between when everyone is there, it's almost like that's the shooting time for a movie. Everything else is the prep work. But it can be very, very rewarding. You know, you're never going to be in a place where you're not thinking about your business, but it's healthy. You need to do that. You know, it becomes like who you are. But the coolest thing I think is when you think you're having a really good day and you have people that are working for you and they have a really, really good day, you actually feel better about that success than your own success. But it's not personal success. It's a personal satisfaction I get out of it, but there's nothing like seeing, it's like probably being a coach. Hey, this is pretty slick, but when the team wins, it feels, you know, I still play hockey. You know, we win a game, we all feel really good about it as a team. You know, it's not just like, wow, you get the most goals, good for you. You know, we want our primary priority is the employees in the organization. We want them to feel comfortable and happy and be successful, and then that should spread out. It's Herb Keller, CEO of Southwest. He used to put billboards up and said, the customer is not our priority. Our employees are our priority. Yep. And if we treat them well, then they're going to treat everybody else well.
I agree. So Brennan King, King and Bishop, Finish Line Staffing, documentary producer, wearing a lot of hats, great dad. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really enjoyed having you.
Thank you, Mark.
So thank you for joining us for another edition of the Mindset Entrepreneur Video Podcast. And we will see you next time.